Hello, and welcome to this Meetings Today podcast. I'm Taylor Smith, content developer, destinations and futures for Meetings Today, and writer of the column, The Z, Planning for the Industry's Next Generation, which talks about all things related to Gen Z in the meetings and events industry. And I am super excited for this podcast today to bring one of my sources for The Z to life with us. I am here with Luke Getting, an award-winning communications expert and founder of Puffington Presentations, which is an Austin, Texas-based creative consultancy. And Luke, you specialize in crafting engaging and interactive experiences for audiences around the world, which is what our meetings and events industry is all about.
Exactly.
And to go back to the Gen Z thing too, as a millennial company leader, you coach Gen Z employees on how to maximize their effectiveness at work and consult with clients on how to inspire Gen Z today, which I think is a big challenge for a lot of people at the moment. So I am excited to dig into your expertise and share it with our listeners today. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be chatting with y'all. And of course, very intimidated to be interviewed about Gen Z by a Gen Z.
I know. We'll see if you'll meet the expectation.
Real-time fact-checking I'm expecting.
Yes,
here.
I got you. So I know I gave a brief introduction, but from your perspective, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, I think as it relates to our audience, the medium of presentations has always fascinated me. Mm-hmm. And in high school and in college, I always wondered, is this kind of the standard? Or I kind of expected once I got to the business world, the caliber presentations would be much better and kind of the Hollywood-esque productions that we're oftentimes used to seeing. Mm-hmm. And not to speak poorly of any of our amazing meeting planners who are creating those experiences, but what I experienced out of college was a lot more of the same, just kind of okay presentations. They weren't especially engaging. They weren't especially creative.
Feeling like you're back in the classroom with your professor up on stage.
It really did. And yeah. I one of my first jobs was at a smaller company. And I thought, well, maybe we're a small business. Maybe the larger the company, the better the experience. And I almost found the inverse to be true. The bigger the company, the worse the deck oftentimes was. I don't know why that was the case. All that to say, in my role, I was in outside sales. And so presentation, I quickly realized that was my main asset that I was leveraging to make my living. And so I started experimenting with it, trying to bring a lot more interactivity into those experiences. And that's something I've been passionate about ever since, and started getting into consulting on that topic. And then it kind of became an agency from there.
Yes.
Engaging interactive presentations from right out from college to present day, over a decade later, is what I've been spending my time on.
Yeah. And that jumps right into my next question for you, which is, can you tell us a bit more about Puffington Presentations and how you decided you wanted to start your own creative consultancy? Like, what inspired you?
So interestingly, I started this company in 2013, so literally a decade ago. And at the time, iPads were just blowing up.
Yeah.
It was the wave. And iPads, they did represent a pretty incredible new technology.
A laptop without a keyboard.
Right.
Crazy.
however, it was kind of a twofold situation. I saw all these companies buying up iPads and giving them to their salespeople. Mm-hmm. They were going to be like the revolution. And yet, that I would sit down in these meetings with these people who had these iPads, and I would watch what they bring up, and they bring up like a non-mobile website or a PDF, literally a PDF. And I was just flabbergasted that your company is spending $600-$700 per iPad to show off a PDF.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't, so I guess all that to say, there wasn't really a connection between the tool and the actual presentation experience itself. They weren't taking that next step. And I often feel with presentations, that's a big element. The tech might be there, but the experience isn't.
Yep.
And so I started playing around with Prezi. So for any old
yes.
school presentation
fans. Oh my gosh,
fans,
I totally remember that.
Yeah. Song. Prezi, at the time, PowerPoint and Microsoft and Apple did not play along well at all.
Mm-mm.
And so Prezi had this elegant iPad app, and you could create interactive experiences. So you could actually bring up some different options and say, well, what do you want to talk about today, Taylor? And click on that and go navigate
that. Oh my gosh.
And I like was
awakening all these memories in my head right now.
Yeah, it was sleek. And I just found that experience changed the dynamic so significantly. And I was so frustrated that no one was doing that. Mm-hmm. And so my initial vision was actually to consult back to the industry that I was working in, which was electronic security. But later in 2013, one of the presentations I was working on won the Best Business Prezi of the Year award. And there, yeah, so that was exciting. And it's kind of one of those
Prezi master.
I eventually became certified as a Prezi expert.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I've been to their offices in Budapest, Hungary.
No way.
4 or 5 times. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And the reason that relationship has been so strong is they've always championed a kind of a two-way interactive experience mm-hmm. as well. And so from there, rather than just being pigeonholed into the industry I knew, I started getting leads from people all over the world who were interested in creating dynamic Prezi presentations. And then later we started doing everything, PowerPoints, keynotes, Google Slides, whatever, mm-hmm. All in the goal of just really looking to create more dynamic experiences for audiences at events around the world.
That is so neat. Seriously, all the memories of high school coming back to me, like making a Prezi to study for my test or something. Like I did that all the time. So kind of to give more information as to how meeting and event planners can work with you in the future, what exactly can you and Puffington's presentations offer our meeting planners to help them bring these interactive experiences to life?
Yeah, great question. And I feel we're kind of continuing on the theme where I feel a lot of times meeting planners, they do a lot of this legwork to make sure the event app is running effectively. The mm-hmm. event venues have all the tools and technology available, but you can't always force people to use them
yeah.
or to use them strategically. Mm-hmm. And so that's really where my agency comes in. A lot of times we're working directly with the clients presenting at these conferences, and we're helping them think beyond a one-way kind of traditional stodgy stand up at a podium and lecture college kind of style. Yeah. So that's where we can really help is again, literally on the theme of the iPad I was just talking about, taking it from just the tools that are available to actually implementing them in a strategic, creative way.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, I mean, even for me as a Gen Zer who's supposed to be super tech savvy, new technology scares me. It's so intimidating. And I think with trying to balance, you know, work and life already, teaching myself a whole new technology sometimes just seems like such a daunting task.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's kind of what a lot of people are going through right now, especially with this wave of AI that's happening? Like, how do we encourage people to take advantage of all these new things?
Yeah, it's a really interesting balance there. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And I know a lot of planners and anyone associated with events, there is that twofold excitement and fear, mm-hmm. especially if anything, any wrinkle, anything starts to malfunction, it's chaos. We all know that fire drill. For me, a lot of times, again, it comes back to things that are already readily, like generally available. Like I said, just again, back to that iPad example, they had the tool there, they just weren't using it. So mm-hmm. Event apps have all kinds of amazing things built in. There's mm-hmm. tools like Slido or Mentimeter that have literally been around, I think, also 10 plus years.
See, I just learned about Slido last year.
I mean, I was actually using Zoom mm-hmm. in early 2014. And a lot of people found out about Zoom.
Zoom was a pandemic invention, right? That's how I see it.
So because we were creating a lot of interactive or really dynamic presentations, I was using Zoom instead of WebEx, like when they were very early on, because it had the best broadcast experience, the highest quality video.
Yeah.
But yeah, it took 7, 8, 9 years for the rest of the people to really get. And so it was kind of funny to me to see that taking over. But all this to mm-hmm. say, a lot of times this tech is there, but things like the chat, well, if no one's encouraging people to use the chat, mm-hmm. it's just going to be there. Or one of the things I always feel bad for, and I hope that event people can really encourage this more, is like, there's oftentimes a few people who are the social media evangelists, for example. And they're like trying, they're using the hashtag mm-hmm. and you open up some of these chat things and like it's them posting six times a day and there's no one's joining them.
Yep.
And so I feel it's about how do we reward those experience, those mm-hmm. people who are really championing and encourage more participation.
Yeah.
That's what we try to do. So yeah, a lot of times these are tools. I use simple like voting tools to be able to actually affect content.
Mm-hmm.
So our clients, or whether it's me presenting or our clients, will sometimes create navigational experiences. And so I'll come to what I call a pivot point in my presentation, and I'll literally show three options, A, B, C, and my audience will vote on it. And using, again, a simple tool like Slido, mm-hmm. and whatever they choose, that's what we're going to cover.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I really believe there's so much more opportunity within the existing tech stack.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So kind of shifting gears a little bit now, you have lots of experience working with people like me, Gen Zers, and your expertise has helped you learn and develop invaluable tactics for navigating the challenges and opportunities of working with this mysterious generation that no one seems to be able to quite understand just yet. But you've learned how to foster a collaborative and productive environment that aligns with the expectations of Gen Z and, you know, other generations, because we all have to work together. So what have you learned from your own experience are some of the biggest challenges of working with young people today?
Yeah. Ooh, that's a heavy question.
I know, better right? not offend me. Here we go.
Challenges and opportunities. I like to have it both.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we'll get into that.
And I'll quick disclaimer note that I pull from my own experiences as well as some of the leading research out there. So I get to kind of double dip in that context.
Yeah.
I will say, just right off the bat, critically important, leading with why. I have found having, I guess I'll pause and say, that's always having a mission statement, having a company vision. Like, those have been things that have been around for forever, since businesses existed pretty much. But I've really experienced through my presentation agency and through speaking to my employees that, like, that actually does seem to really have an impact beyond what I thought. I like to, it's fun to kind of create the kickoff meeting at the start of the year. These are our goals. Here's where we're going to be in 12 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that it actually sticks with people more than I expected, especially Gen Z. And then sometimes I say Gen Z plus to kind of include younger millennials in there as well. But beyond that, not just making it, not just having it be that kickoff event in January or Q1, having that be pervasive throughout your daily stand-up meetings and your projects. Because, yeah, once it gets to June, it can be, can kind of lose sight of that North Star sometimes in the grind of just pumping out a 50th breakout session deck.
Yeah. And it's summertime and everyone's, you know, a little not off focus a little bit. So
yeah,
I totally understand.
I've had employees continue to like frame back to me, well, here's my idea and this is why, this is how it relates back to what you said, you know, our company mission. And that's so powerful. Like, wow, this stuff really does stick with people and Gen Z especially. So leading with why, sharing the vision and the reasoning behind it, I've seen a big impact there.
Yeah, I love that. So what about the biggest challenges you think planners face when they look toward planning events for a younger audience? And, you know, they maybe don't know like what these Gen Zers are looking for quite
yet. Yeah. So you and I have chatted a little bit about this already, but we kind of have like pre-pandemic life, pandemic life, and then post-pandemic, right? Especially when it comes to events. I feel like what I've largely seen in the world of events is there was a total change in the pandemic world. Mm-hmm. We started using all these virtual tools that we had never heard of, and people onboarded those things fast.
Yep.
Like, say what you will about, like,
when you're forced to do something, what other choice have you got?
Say what you will about tech aversion. Like, people jumped into these tools incredibly, and we're hosting events with thousands, tens of thousands. It was incredible, and I really applaud the industry for doing so. And what those tools brought that I don't think we should take for granted, again, relatively simple, but native chat just built in, the ability to participate in polls very easily and in various interactive ability to very easily connect with the speakers,
yes,
as well as fellow attendees in kind of, whether it's LinkedIn or some sort of native tool in there, breakout rooms within the overall experience to just go chat. And again, yeah, you can do that in person, but there was a little bit of more structure to it that I think made it feel more productive.
Yeah.
There were a lot of elements that I thought were very big positives. And again, the idea that there was these keynotes taking place, and there were just messages and messages pouring in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
People were engaged. People were upvoting what was said or saying, you know, tweaking, you know, well, this is my experience. And so then anyway, to wrap that, now we get to this post-pandemic life, and I feel to the detriment in some cases, we've kind of shifted back to a lot of that pre-pandemic world where mm-hmm. it's still a one-way experience. We have the evangelists who are doing the social media and using the hashtags, but it's still only a few people who are really committed to it.
Yeah.
And I think all those two-way experiential elements that were very easy to do while we were sitting a lot of times at our laptop, they're actually pretty much as easy to do when you're holding your phone. And if we don't create those opportunities, people are going to do them anyway. They're just going to be on their own social media platforms mm-hmm. and having their own private conversations. So I think the more we can encourage those conversations to take place within our own event ecosystems, the better.
Yeah. And I will say too, I love those online chats when I'm in even like a webinar or attending some sort of lecture or presentation online. I learn from the chats, right? Because mm-hmm. people will share, you know, that there's not always the opportunity during like in-person or live events to jump in and share a little anecdote about the information that we're learning and taking in. And I'm the kind of person where I learn through in like real life experiences, right? Like, tell me how I could apply this mm-hmm. in my day-to-day life. And the chat box would be the opportunity for someone to say like, yes, oh my gosh, I have totally done this before during this event and it worked out like this and everyone loved it. And like, I see things like that. And I'm like, I'm writing this down. Like, here's mm-hmm. how I can apply it. You connect with people in there. I mean, I'll send my LinkedIn link sometimes then boom, exactly. New connection right there. So I love those chats, and I will say I don't think at any of the events I've been to experienced one where it's like we're at the event, but there's also a chat going on too. Like
innovation of 2024.
Yeah, let's make it happen.
Like it's again, it's not
bring chats
that's,
back.
That's what I say. Like yeah, it's not some crazy revolution in technology.
No. Yeah.
But I think
we just forgot about it.
Just to like really underline the younger audiences, especially Gen Z, millennials. They are used to consuming information at a fast pace through these tools.
We have an average attention span of 1.3 seconds.
Right. But I even find that one very interesting because it's an attention span that's short, yet it can stay on the same like app for hours.
Yeah.
Like the TikTok consumption, for example, mm-hmm. hours a day. And so, but it's the pace. I think it's really about pacing mm-hmm. and a traditional keynote with just one person speaking, everyone else listening, very passive experience.
Can't scroll on that.
No scroll, no progression. Like, yeah, you made your point. All right, next video. Mm-hmm. Now you're stuck there. And so, yeah, things like the chat, like that creates more engagement opportunities that helps keep that attention span.
Yeah, I love that. On the other hand, what are some of the biggest opportunities that come as a result of bringing Gen Z into both the workplace and meetings and events? How have you seen them shift these things, and how do you think in the future they will continue to? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're always bringing new ideas. Some not so great. Some are pretty spectacular. But you know, how do we welcome things like that into our lives?
Especially in an industry that's been relatively stable.
Yes.
And again, not to demean.
We like to do things how they've been done, right?
But there is There's a case to be made that if you accidentally walked into a meeting hall in 1978, like it wouldn't feel monumentally different from one in 2019, mm-hmm. I feel. First of all, I think it's just important to underline that Gen Z, these people starting to attend these events increasingly, they're the future audiences of events.
We're coming.
It's inevitable, right? And within probably... So the stat is within 2030, they'll already make up
like 30% of the workforce.
30% of the workforce. And then you pair that with millennials, that'll then be the majority of audiences.
Oh my goodness.
So millennials and Gen Z combined, both groups that experience a lot of technology early on, I think that's going to be very
iPad
much,
babies.
Yeah. it's going to be a factor on that front. Mm-hmm. And so... What are the opportunities? Well, just kind of listen to their perspectives, right? They're helping inform what these futures of events can look like. Mm-hmm. And that they're bringing that fresh perspective. I always find it really exciting when someone does join my company because you take some notes. There's reasons we do things, mm-hmm. but sometimes there's not great reasons. It's just how things are done.
Yeah.
Right. So embracing those experiences. And then I think it's very worth noting that Gen Z very much has shown an aggressiveness toward learning and development.
Yes. Like
they want to continue growing. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so
according to statistics,
according to stats. and yeah, very much my experience, you learn from a lot of your mistakes. And mm-hmm. so I have designers who day to day, they fundamentally like design presentations, and I've lost really talented people after, 2 years, 3 years, because they just kind of got burned out on doing the same thing. Yeah. I could have really pushed myself to come up with better ways to help them continue to grow so that they could have stayed at my company longer. And so mm-hmm. those are honestly some of my regrets is not doing that more. And yeah. I think companies need to think about that a lot more with these new employees, that we can't, it's not just an assembly line, right? Mm-hmm. We can't just plug someone in and be like, hey, stay there for 3 to 5 years, just do that one thing. They want more. And in theory, we would all want our employees to be like growing and yeah. taking on new challenges, right? So I think making sure that kind of we're walking the walk as we think about that concept is very critical.
Yeah. I think that almost relates to the point we made about how Gen Z, everything's so fast paced for them and their mm-hmm. attention span is short. And it's because they're always looking for what's next and what's new and where do I go from here? And it all ties together and shows that, like, I mean, Gen Z we get burnt out so fast. I feel like I read about it all the time online, just people who are burnt out by the age of 25 and quit their job. And then all of a sudden they're doing something totally different, traveling the world, starting their own business, moving across the country, something mm-hmm. because they just needed a change. And I think that when it comes to development and growth and moving up in your position, or even just experiencing something new, Gen Z is always going to, they're the kind of generation that pushes for change like that. Whereas, previous generations, we were talking during our lunch today, like they value that loyalty, right? They mm-hmm. thought that staying in one place was the best option for them. And maybe it is in some cases even today, but Gen Zers are, I think, like every 2 to 3 years was the stat. They're like looking for something new. Yeah. And some of them will have like 8 different jobs by the time they're 25. And it's just like, I couldn't imagine that personally, but there are people who I have friends who have like, they've already had 4 since we graduated college. I'm like, right. how do you keep up?
Like, in some ways that's, I admire that. Like the testing the waters quickly. Like mm-hmm. some people you yearn for that stability and that's great too, but 5-10 years can go by quicker than you think sometimes.
You guys didn't lie to us. The older you get, time goes by way faster.
Right?
I'm like, I'm going to be 25 this year. That I thought yesterday I was 15. So it's scary. I'm not an adult yet. What are we talking about?
And I just want to pick up on one thing you said, which this idea of staying at the same place and staying in the same role, those often are kind of seen as the same path, right?
Yeah.
And that's, I think, our challenge as employers, as colleagues, as people who are trying to make this events world more productive and more successful. Like, mm-hmm. how do we make it advantageous for someone to stay at our organizations
yeah.
and keep performing at a high level so that they don't simply plateau and have to take all their talents and all their amazing experience at our very specific roles at our companies elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. I guess the one thing I really appreciate about the role I'm in is the creativity I'm allowed. And I think mm-hmm. Gen Z as a generation entirely is just so creative, always trying something new. There's another stat that I read, I don't remember exactly what it was, but a certain percentage of Gen Zers, more so than millennials and Gen Xers, are interested in becoming entrepreneurs and starting their own business.
Very high rates of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and college admission rates in comparison to a few years ago are actually decreasing a little mm-hmm. bit because Gen Z is just like, I am going to take my own path. They're looking for something different. They don't want to be stuck at a desk 9 to 5 every day. And I think that's, that just goes to show how much change they're bringing too. And I think it's so important to allow room for creativity in positions now and give them the opportunity, like you said, hear them out, listen to their ideas, because that's how they'll grow too.
I'll make 2 quick points here. Mm-hmm. One, because I get into a lot of pseudo arguments with some older generation bosses or leaders. And I think it's just really important to acknowledge the history of Gen Z growing up. I mean,
yeah,
they were the oldest Gen Zers were in their teens when the Great Recession happened in 2010. Yep. And so 2008 to 2000, whenever you know, mm-hmm. different industries were affected for longer periods of time. So they saw their parents, their siblings, their family friends get laid off, places that they've been at for 10, 20, 50 years in some cases.
I just remember thinking, oh my God, I'm going to lose my house. We hear like housing crisis. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm 8 years old. I can't help my mom right now.
Go get a job. Let's get that
okay, let's go. I'll
move it.
Walk dogs around the block.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah. That's intense. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like you said, there's nothing you can do about it. And then 9 years later, the same thing in a different way repeats itself with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so there is a reason that they have this risk factor associated with staying in a career, staying at a specific company, putting all your eggs in that basket. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important to acknowledge that that's Gen Z experience that as they were growing up and basically as they entered the workforce.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah. And then my second point there is I think we have this complicated relationship with entrepreneurship. We applaud it, I think, as a society generally, mm-hmm. but as an employer, that can be a negative, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like, oh, that person's going to leave.
Yeah.
But I've had some really amazing conversations and seen it firsthand.
As an entrepreneur yourself?
As an entrepreneur myself and with my employees who they've brought like video editing skills. I had my own designers create, they played a large hand in designing our website. Mm-hmm. They played a exclusive role in designing one of our demo reels that we show on our website and a lot of different side projects that I've tried to facilitate and give them the first option, not mandate it, but if they want to take a crack at it rather than going outside or outsourcing it. And they've done an incredible job a lot of times.
Yeah, I will say I have been on your website a couple of times now and I have so much fun on that thing. Like,
awesome.
Just scrolling through like little pop-ups, seriously, check it out if you haven't been to loopgetting.com. It's so fun. So fun. And I went on my website afterwards, my personal portfolio website, and I was like, we're just gonna take this off the internet for a second.
Don't worry, Taylor, because in a month I'll look at the next new website and I'll be like, oh man.
It's always developing. I know. I'm like, mine is so like 2008, you log in, it's just like boop. Like nothing moves, nothing changes. It's just very, very simple. Yours is definitely worth checking out. So I
appreciate that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's these we can't pass this point without talking about side hustles, right? So a lot of times that entrepreneurship, it isn't exactly like they're trying to replace a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. It's a side hustle, a secondary form of income to help pay off extra bills. Maybe eventually it could become a full-time thing, but mm-hmm. at the moment, it can be a way for them to learn new skills that they can actually bring to the workforce. One story that really sticks out to me, I was at an event in San Antonio and a gentleman who's working at Goodwill, he was actually saying, I was a Twitch video game streamer.
Oh my goodness.
And I learned all these streaming skills, but also video editing skills through that, mm-hmm. that he's now using for Goodwill and for
that
all
is
their
cool.
media platforms, yeah. and their social content. I'm like, that's awesome.
And kind of going off of that, I feel like a lot of side hustles or the small businesses that a lot of people are starting to open these days, it's all based in their passion, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, maybe their career is their passion, but they have a creative outlet. I love arts and crafts and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I love scrapbooking and I crochet and I paint and I'm a journalist, but I'm also a creative writer. And there's so much that, you know, my side hustles, like, I'll freelance for local magazines and that's like my creative form of writing. But there are times where, like you said, it's never really to take over what I'm already doing mm-hmm. in my life. But it's another outlet for Gen Z to get their creativity out. And so I think those are definitely ramping up in terms of popularity lately.
They are.
And lots of Instagram accounts are like selling their art and stuff. It's fun to see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those skills, like there's nothing stopping you. You're doing it probably accidentally anyway. Like you're bringing that to the workforce and your company didn't have to spend a dime training you on that. Mm-hmm. That's something you learned on your own. So in many ways, I feel like that can really be something to be embraced rather than to be annoyed by.
Yeah. And to keep building off that point, they learn skills in what they're focusing on, right? But if they start their own business, then they learn how a business is run. They learn about finances and all the stuff that goes into running a company. Mm-hmm. And that could just help them understand the company that they work for even more.
Absolutely. When you start to get into upper level management role, like having an entrepreneurial mindset or an entrepreneurial background, like that is a huge asset a lot of times. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be ready for it yet. I could tell you that right now. Finances, scary.
I started it, like I said, kind of accidentally after I won that Brinley Award, and 10 years later, here I am. So you just kind of learn as you go sometimes.
Yeah. 10 years from now, I'll check in with you. I already know how it's going.
That'll be our Gen Alpha podcast. Yes. What are the little Gen Alphas up to?
I don't know. I've got a 13-year-old sister at home, and all she does is play her video games. I feel like
kids these days.
I know, really. They don't even want to leave the house. Like, go outside and
come on. It's a little cold outside.
I know. Go sledding. It's fun.
That's true.
But to wrap things up, kind of want to almost like I don't even remember the word, like a speed round.
Like a power hour.
Yes.
Powered 15 minutes.
Yes.
Really chug them.
What are three major takeaways of working with and planning for Gen Z that today's listeners should take away with them after this conversation?
Yeah. Ooh, put me on the spot with a list here.
I know. One, two, three. Boom, boom, boom.
I'll start out a little lighthearted, although it has some negative implications. Like the conversations around, like as just mockingly just said, like kids these days, and like, what's up with Gen Z? Why don't they want to work? Like,
they're so lazy.
They're so lazy and entitled. And like, it's just not productive. It's not a productive conversation. Mm-hmm. And I find a lot of times when I'm hearing people say that, they haven't really taken the time to actually connect and get to know people of that generation. It's more just reflexive. And many times I find it's not a direct implication on that generation. It's more a reflection that Gen Z doesn't want to work in the traditional ways that business used to be done.
Yeah.
Which was oftentimes formed 40, 50, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And so, which is inevitable, like generations from much further, 100 years from now, won't want to work the way that we want to work.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And so, I say kind of lighthearted, but actually, like, it's a new perspective, it's a new generation. They're the future of the workforce. So companies that are just rolling with that, to put it in a very business way, they're just going to be best positioned for the future. Mm-hmm. So I'll start there. Let's just get away from name calling. And it can go a little. Gen Z's throw some shade at the other generations as well. Like, it goes both ways.
We're innocent. Really. What are you talking about?
Millennials, we've always been in the mix, whether we've liked it or not. Mm-hmm. But that one for starters. One thing that I found, again, is a reflection that is a bit of a significant shift from some of the older generations is this idea of constant progress, constant level increases, ultimately what comes down to the category of gamification.
Mm-hmm.
Gen Z and really anyone, like digital tools are built around progress. Like you finish a page and now you see you're on page two of, and there's a little percentage bar, like you're up to the next level, you get a medallion.
It's like you said, it's a little game.
And all these are age old, credit card points and flyer miles.
Everything's a game.
Yeah, fantasy football. Like, these are proven ways to keep people more engaged with something that's relatively boring. Like, how many times did you get on a plane this year? There's cool ways to, and Gen Z ultimately expects to see progress. And traditionally in business, that has been mostly associated with a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't promote someone every week.
Yeah.
but that, you don't have to. It's just, and I think sometimes those get conflated, the expectation of seeing progress and the expectation of wanting a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And so as managers, as leaders, if we can share, it doesn't have to be a really fancy tech, but just a simple, even PowerPoint slide, like this skill. Right now I see you at like a 7 out of 10 on this skill.
Mm-hmm.
And here are the two or three things you could do to get to a 10 out of that. And here's this project that we're working on that we expect to take 6 to 9 months. Well, right now I feel like we're at a 30% here. Yeah. So things like that. And by the way, this isn't just Gen Z. Like, I think everyone would appreciate seeing that, like, versus if you compare it to, okay, you started this job and then maybe if you stay there 3 years, eventually you might get promoted. Like, that's the only progress you're working toward.
Or you get your one annual review and it's like, is this going to be good or am I just going to hear everything I did wrong all year and have it like thrown at me then?
Annual review is so stressful.
I know, it's really scary.
It really
it's scary. Like, if I'm doing something wrong, tell me now. so yeah, I could change it. Exactly, don't wait 6 months. Renata, let me know.
Honestly, I'll let Taylor, you kind of feed into that third point, which would be just high touch management. Mm-hmm. So yeah, gamification, and those are really hand in hand, where again, it's just a different style. Gen Z's used to being able to, if you're on a digital tool, you get an instantaneous reaction, like yes or no, that was right or wrong. Mm-hmm. If it was wrong, you try that level again and you see if that worked, and you just keep doing that. You can do it immediately. If you have a thought or a concept or an image or a video you created, you post it, and typically within minutes, you're getting reactions.
Yeah,
you know that was a hit. You know that was a bomb. Mm-hmm. And so Gen Z, any like kind of digitally centric people, they're very used to getting this really quick real time feedback. Mm-hmm. And so this kind of just awkward, and it's not intentional by managers usually, but just like this awkward silence. Maybe we'll talk about it at our, maybe we have a weekly one on one. Maybe we don't. If we do, sometimes it's just the manager talking the whole time anyway.
Yeah.
So you're not even getting a chance to kind of contribute in that two way. So being able to create these avenues for employees to connect, to share what their situation is, giving them that feedback in a less intense, less high pressure, high stakes environment, as an annual review. And then the last thing, just making that available on the channels that they want it to be available on.
Yeah,
the traditional meeting, it is kind of more of a sit down, just get in a little conference room like this, and it is intense. But yeah, maybe sometimes some combos can happen on Slack or whatever the company's internal tool. And having that ability to have an omni-channel relationship with colleagues, direct reports, whomever, I think just is ultimately beneficial to all generations, but especially the younger generation.
Yeah.
The emerging workforce. I mixed that in right at the end there.
Perfect. I mean, going off that, even on Word, like when my editor leaves comments for me and is like, he'll just leave little points and tidbits, and I'm like, oh, I'm really glad he told me that now, because now I can like make note of it instead of, you know, going back and taking another class on grammar that I've been through like a million of them already.
And that's a great example. Like, there's so much of a difference taking an extra 10 seconds to say, like, here's what I want you to rework, and here's like an idea of how you might rework it versus rework.
Yeah.
Like, well, what is that?
Give me some idea. Yeah, like, what did I do wrong?
Like, it's just a little extra effort in creating that connection that can have a big impact.
Yeah, agreed. Well, Luke, those are all my questions for you today, but did you have anything else you wanted to mention or discuss before we sign off for the afternoon?
I just ultimately think, I mentioned it at the outset, almost every, and you can subscribe to my channels or whatever to get more into the details here, but I feel like almost every one of these quote-unquote, like, challenges associated with Gen Z is really just an opportunity. It all comes down to framing. I think they bring that entrepreneurial spirit. We talked about that earlier. Like, that is such an opportunity. Them bringing these skill sets into the workforce. Mm-hmm. Gen Z, we didn't get into it a lot, but they have a very diligent mentality around work-life balance.
Oh yes, 100%.
Yeah, and that oftentimes gets derided as.
I could learn from my own generation with that. Yeah, sometimes right, I'm like, how do they do that?
I absolutely learn from Gen Z. Mm-hmm. That oftentimes gets derided as lazy. Mm-hmm. Yet, time and time again, we see people who are just busting it for 6 months, and then just fall off of the map.
They burn
because
out.
They're burnt out.
Yeah.
And so there is a protective and strategic element to just plugging away and being able to keep that mental health year round versus just grinding and grinding and grinding until you become like kind of worthless for a while because you
mental health
extended yourself.
Gen Z is making them more common. And I'm like, what is a mental health day? They're very interesting. But
yeah, so we got to adapt and roll. And I'm not saying it's seamless and it's easy. I'm not trying to give that impression at all. Mm-hmm. But look for those opportunities. I believe that they are there in most situations. And a lot of this just comes down to who's framing it. Who's the people being interviewed for these articles? A lot of times it's bosses who are like, oh, I'm so annoyed with my new employees. And we don't really dig a little bit deeper to know what could the company be doing better? What could the managers be doing better to create better experiences for everyone?
Yeah. Well, I think that we learned a lot from you today, Luke. And I will speak on behalf of Gen Z. I think you represented us very well.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Of course.
Thank you. Woo.
Of course.
Maybe this will actually get published then.
Yeah.
It was on the fence before that.
No, we got you. We got him. That was Luke Getting, an award-winning communications expert and founder of Puffington Presentations, here to share with us some of the biggest lessons he's learned working closely with Gen Z in and outside of the meetings and events industry. Once again, I'm Taylor Smith, content developer, Destinations and Features for Meetings Today. Thank you for joining us for this Meeting Today podcast highlighting Gen Z in the workforce. And if you're interested in listening to any more of our podcasts discussing different news, trends, and more in the meetings and events industry, check out our website at meetingstoday.com. And thanks again for listening.